the scripture reading this morning, I'll be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I will read verses 13 and 14. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil.
Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Appreciate Mark's kind words about length of sermon there. I always kind of look at myself as the equalizer. We have Dave who has a tendency to go a little long, and well, Roger goes a little long once in a while too. So I do my best to try to make up for that. This morning I'd like to talk to us a little bit about a clear vision for 2020. Thought that was a convenient title for the upcoming year. I went to the eye doctor a couple weeks ago, and the doctor finally talked me into progressives, and it was like, wow, these progressive lenses are great. I can see really clear. So that was kind of an inspiration for this idea of getting this 2020 vision. So what are some clear things that we can work on for this year? Like to recap a few things from this last year that have been great. We've had some baptisms, we've had marriages, we've had some new babies, we have lots of new members. Those are some great blessings for our congregation here. As you all know, the fifth Sundays are when Dave and I or the elders alternate bringing a lesson. And one of the things that we do in our meetings when we get together is it's like, where has this person been? Why have we not seen someone? It's been great to see certain people, you know, that come back. And so we do talk about a lot of these things. And so these are things that are encouraging to us that we talked about. One of the things that we want to encourage, though, is I think as everyone knows, I'm the guy who stands up here every time I do announcements and say, have you read your Bible? It's a good start, isn't it? That's a good thing to do. We want to encourage everyone to continue to do that. But I'd like to bring out a couple of other things this morning, and that would be prayers and helping others. These are a couple of things that we should add to our list as well, things that we should work on doing. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said to them, he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily is what we're supposed to do. And so these ideas of Bible reading, praying, helping others, these are all things that we should be doing on a daily basis, not something that we just do on a Sunday or when we come together, but things that we can work towards doing every day. One of the things that Rogers mentioned several times is that the importance of putting on Christ. This idea of putting on Christ, it's like getting dressed in Christ. You know, when we get up in the morning, we get dressed. And this idea of putting on Christ is something that we should be doing every day. If we look at Romans chapter 13, verse 14, Paul tells the Romans, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Paul likes this term, putting on of Christ. We see it again in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. He says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then in Ephesians, he mentions it again, beginning in chapter 4 and verse 21. He says, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. He talks about being careful about being ruled by our deceitful desires, perhaps our feelings. What he says is, he says to the Ephesians there, he says, renew the spirit of your mind. Well, how do we renew that spirit of our mind? By getting into God's Word. Get into God's Word. Renew that mind. Think on those things. Think on the things that you read. Also, praying with God. Those are things that will help us in our spirit of our mind. In Ephesians chapter 5, the next chapter, verse 15, Paul tells us to look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. I like the King James translation of this. King James words it as, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This idea of circumspectly, carefully is definitely part of that, but circumspectly also means cautiously, watchfulness in every way, attention to guard against surprise or danger. If we're walking circumspectly, we'll be more careful about doing what's right. We will think about our actions more. So this idea of walking circumspectly is something that we should do every day. So as I mentioned, we talked to you about reading our Bibles daily. We do have a new Bible reading program coming up that'll be starting this week. And we'll be reading from the books of Luke, Acts, and Hebrews. Now, our adult class that meets in the auditorium here will be talking about lessons from these readings. We're not going to be doing a study of the book of Luke or a study of the book of Acts, but what are some of the lessons that we can learn from various things that are mentioned in those books? So if you would, please follow along this year. Read along. There's a schedule on the back in the foyer. There's also the emails that get sent out every day. So please follow along, because we should all be able to grow by the readings. If we look at Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 10, we see that the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. The example there is that we see that these Bereans were considered more noble. Kind of an interesting word to use there, isn't it? Noble. What does it mean to be noble? According to Webster's, noble means to be great, elevated, dignified, being above everything that can dishonor reputation. Isn't that what we want to be? We want to be able to be a person of reputation, of a good reputation. And so what we see is one of the things that made these Bereans noble was that they, not only were they examining the scriptures daily, they were doing it with eagerness. We don't want you all to read the Bible just because I stand up here and nag you about it. We hope that you will develop an eagerness and a desire to read so that we can further our relationship with God, so that we can get to know better the love that God has shown towards us. In Psalm 119 and verse 109, as we went through our study in Psalms this last year, did you notice a common theme about how David talks about being constantly in the precepts, the teachings of God? In 119:109, he says, I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. Farther down in verse 117, he says, hold me up that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. David was in the statutes of God regularly. David being a man after God's own heart. This was a man who set aside time for God, time to be in His Word. That's a good example for us, to spend time in His Word. Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 5. Isaiah says, "The earth lies defiled under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant." What is it that defiles the earth? Its inhabitants, because it separates itself from God. We don't want to be among those inhabitants. We want to be those that know the Word of God, that know His precepts, that know His promises, that know His covenants. The next thing that we wanted to talk about was praying. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, Jesus talks about praying. Starts off and it says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their many words." This idea of praying to God is something that we do privately, as individuals. Why do you think that is? So that we can talk to God about us, about ourselves, what we need help in, how we can be strengthened. Those are some of the things that we see. In verse 7, Jesus continued, or I'm sorry, in verse 8, 9, verse 9, he says, "Pray then like this." He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Again, in our study of Psalms, when we see that David, when he addressed God, how did he address God? Was always with honor, sacred, holy, in a way that was very dignified. This idea of hallowed means that, consecrated, a sacred use or to religious exercises, treated as sacred or reverenced. When we approach God, do we do it knowing that we're talking to the Creator of all things? God, who created the heavens and the earth, is willing to listen to us. Verse 10, he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God's will be done. But are we going to be there to be grateful for it and thankful for it? Do we understand that God's power, His majesty, are we going to be a part of that? We should want to. That's what we're saying there. Your will be done. Verse 11, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." How often do you eat? Probably more than once a day. How often do we pray? Shouldn't it be at least as often as we eat? Because we need to be mindful of where our blessings come from. Those blessings come from God. Verse 12, he says, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Forgiving us of our sins. Just because we're baptized doesn't mean we're perfect. We should strive for perfection, but we do fall. Jesus reminds us to pray for our, that we're forgiven of our shortcomings, of our failures. But what's interesting here is Jesus attaches that to something, doesn't it? He attaches it to our willingness to forgive those that sin against us, those that do us wrong. He expands on that by saying in verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How sobering is that? Are we living lives that are forgiving for others? Are we loving towards others? If we're that way towards others, God will be that way towards us. Verse 13, he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God doesn't lead us into temptation, but sometimes our desires, our failures lead us there. But God provides a way for us to overcome those failures. When we go and we read the wonderful things that God has done for us, how grateful we are that we have such a merciful God, that we have such a loving God that would be willing to take us as his children. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, Peter says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Our prayers can be hindered. Husbands, are you doing right by your wives? Are you giving them honor? Are you living with them in a way that shows your love towards them? Do you understand that you're not the only one going to heaven, that are working towards getting to heaven, but your spouse is as well? This idea of your prayers being hindered because of your relationship with your spouse is very sobering. It points out the importance of being able to go to God. You better make sure you're right with others before you go to him. In Acts chapter 10, I've always been impressed with the prayer life that's mentioned here. Acts chapter 10, beginning in the first verse, says, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. Does that explain our prayer life? Does our prayer life meet up with this centurion, this Gentile? Can we say that we pray to God continually? The next verse, it says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision, an angel of God came in and said to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? He said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. When we pray to God, do our prayers that come up to God, are they a memorial to him? Do we mention God in our prayers? We need to mention God. We need to let him know that we understand who he is, that we understand what he has done. In Psalm chapter 40, beginning in 16, and says, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Again, Book of Psalms. We went through this earlier in the year. David prayed to God continually. We see how he prayed to God. We can learn how to pray to God through the various psalms that were written. Psalm 44 and verse 8, in God we've boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. Psalm 73, beginning in verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I've made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Do the people around you know that you're a Christian? Can they tell how you act? Can they tell how you speak? Can they tell how you are towards other people? Can they look at you and say, yeah, that's someone that has a life that's in line with what God would want? Psalm 105 and verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Again, that idea of continually. Psalm 119, verse 117. Hold me up that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. Paul also mentioned praying without ceasing. You know, when I was little, I thought that meant that, wow, we have to be praying just all the time? How can you do that? How can you get through your day? As we get older, as we get more mature, we understand that it's a prayerful attitude. We should live lives that allow us to talk to God at any time, that allow us to share our life with him and ask for his help, ask for his strength, thank him for all that he's done for us. Another thing that we want to work on is helping others. What are we doing for other people? We look at Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 8. It says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Is that how we're living? Do people understand that we care for them, that we care for their well-being? Verse 10, it says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. What's that phrase mean? That salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. There's an urgency there, isn't there? The urgency is what? To do it now. Don't delay. Do it now. We should love our neighbor as ourselves now. That's what we need to do. It says, the night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Matthew 17, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he says in verse 12, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would like them to do to you. That's what we're told to do. This idea of helping others is illustrated in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 36. It says, now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. This Tabitha died, and Peter went to see her. And continuing on in verse 39, it says, so Peter rose and went with them. When he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping. and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. This idea of doing for others, oftentimes we think it's just money that we can give to others. From this example we see of Dorcas, there's other things that we can do as well. Providing needs. Sometimes it's just providing comfort. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." These are things that we should think on in this upcoming year. He mentioned true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, anything of excellence, anything worthy of praise. Where are we going to find those things? Bible, right? Where we're going to read it. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Don't we kind of confuse those first two statements? Where he says quick to hear, aren't we often quick to speak? He's saying be quick to hear. Listen to each other. Listen to one another. Be slow to speak. You don't have to be the one to get the last word in. You don't have to be the one to get the first word in. Listen. Consider what you're to say. As we read, be circumspect. Think about what you're going to say. And then slow to anger. That's hard to do sometimes when you're driving down the road, isn't it? That's something I think we can all work on, is work on slow to anger. Verse 20, it says, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only." Doers. How are we going to know what to do if we don't read? If we don't read what God wants. He says to be doers of the word, not only hearers, but in verse 22, he says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Sometimes we can talk a good line. Sometimes we believe what we say about ourselves. But if we're just talking about it, are we doing it? James is telling us to make sure that we take action. Make sure that we do the things that we learn. Don't just talk about it. Verse 23 says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." It's important to be a doer. Talks about looking into the law of liberty. What is this perfect law? Again, it's the word of God. It's important that we look into it, that we see what it's about. James 1 and verse 27, he says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." doesn't say necessarily to give out money. Not everyone has money, right? But it says, but visit the orphans, visit the widows, spend time with them, get to know them. These are good things that we can do for one another as well. Then finally, to tie everything back into our yearly Bible reading, the last two verses that we read, the ones that Kyle read for us this morning, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. The idea of Ecclesiastes, what a depressing book, right? We go through, we see vanity of vanities. But at the summary of it all, the writer there of Ecclesiastes tells us the sum of what this wise man learned from looking at all the things that life does for us, that life does to us. He says, the end of the matter, this is the final word, fear God and keep His commandments. Again, how are we going to learn those commandments? How are we going to learn God's word if we don't open it and read it? This morning, if there's anyone that has a need, that has any kind of a need, we have this opportunity for you to make that need known so that we here can help you, because we don't walk this path alone. The idea is that we help one another, that we uplift and encourage each other. That's part of helping each other, isn't it? To encourage, to uplift each other. That's what we're to do. If you have a need, please make it known as together we stand and sing.